Welcome to the future. Technologies and innovations that sculpt our industry.
We actually worked with the Discovery Channel and we found a ranch, so Willow Ranch up in Willow, Alaska. And they said, hey, there was four special needs men who run this ranch up there. And so we took out an old system that was just not working well, right? And it sat out in the middle of the living room and we put in a new central system with our next generation Midea G-Cube product. And we checked in with them not long ago and we went through this last Alaskan winter. And they said, we've never seen anything like it. The performance is incredible.
This episode brought to you by Midea, providing heating and cooling solutions to accommodate all climate conditions and building types. Learn more at MideaComfort.us. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us again on Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. So today we're spending time with David Raines, Senior Product Manager from Midea. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Clifton, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for having me on.
We're grateful to have Midea here with us. I had the opportunity to go check out one of the showrooms in New York a month or so ago. We're going to be doing a show diving deep into some of the equipment transitions, especially with things like vapor injection on some of our new high-performance inverter-driven cold climate heat pumps. And we get a lot of questions from the industry, especially from educators and contractors going, wow, this is a lot. We're going through a refrigerant transition. We got all this new technology. I'm a little bit scared. But yes. Then what we actually find, Midea is spending a lot of time working with contractors, getting contractor input, and making this transition as easy as possible. And I'm very excited for that. And we have a lot of educators that are now going to be introducing this equipment into the classrooms, and they're looking for this. They're looking for other industry experts to say, you know what, it's not that scary and we're here to help you along the way.
That's right. And Clifton, without our contractors, we're nothing, right? And so it's our job as the manufacturer, and we take this very seriously. We know the product inside and out and up and down, right? And so as we travel North America and we go to our distributor partners as a manufacturer, in the beginning, as we put this training regimen together, we would go train our trainer, the trainers at our distributor partners. And that was good. But then we took it a step further and said, you know, while we're doing this, why don't you bring your contractors in here too? And then that does a couple different things. And I was actually up in Toronto earlier this week doing some training. It does a couple things. One is, the contractors get it here directly from the horse's mouth, right? So the manufacturer who works on this every day from a research and development standpoint. But two is it also, as a distributor, right, it gives the contractor trust in you that you have such a close relationship with your manufacturer. And so as we go around through these transitions, so, you know, 2023, we had energy mandates, efficiency mandates, and testing procedures. And now we've turned around twice. And now we've got A2Ls, which is not nearly as scary as maybe people will think it is, right? And so, but we just want to ease their minds, let them know about, you know, the sensors and the remediation process and how all that works. And then that way they're not frightened when it hits, we're all ready to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're going to see a lot of that equipment hitting the ground in the very near future. Some of it we're already starting to see. And so we'll see some refrigerant changes. We'll see some slight modifications into the equipment to be able to be A2L compatible, A2L ready, right? Like the refrigerant detection sensor. But really, that's going to be kind of some of the minor changes that we'll see in equipment. Many contractors, many instructors have been used to the single stage and two stage equipment that we've had for decades. And they're starting to look at inverters and particularly some of these cold climate heat pumps going, what's going on here? I've never even heard of some of these things like vapor injection before and electronic expansion valves. And, you know, some of these things seem kind of scary, but really when we dive into it, it's no different than that transition we made in automobiles when we took out a carburetor and we put on fuel injection. you know, we're just making adaptations to the performance of the equipment. And so we are going to see some things that change, but for the better, for the performance aspect and the troubleshooting diagnostics as well. Let's talk about some of the things that MyDIA has really been focusing on for like innovations with equipment, especially in the heat pump sector.
Yeah. So, I mean, heat pumps are what we do and what we do well. And we're very, very lucky within MyDIA group to have a sister company, GMCC, right? Which is,
right,
which is an inverter variable speed compressor manufacturer. And so, you know, I've always said the analysis of, hey, you've built a house and now you're not sure what you're going to put on the wall, but like Vincent Van Gogh is like your brother, right? So it's like, okay, now I know what I'm going to hang on the wall.
Right.
So with GMCC compressors being, you know, our brother or sister company within MyDIA group, we work very closely with them. And so, you know, we're lucky enough, we don't have to get in line with some of the other compressor manufacturers. We've got that direct relationship with GMCC. We let them know what we want to do, the capacity, the performance, the cold climate heating technology that we want. So we've kind of come out with this three-tiered approach. And, you know, I'm glad you use the automotive industry because we always kind of lean on that a lot, right? So we sort of got what we call our high-speed compressor, right? So 100% heating capacity of 47. If you're in a southern climate, boy, we're good to go. And, you know, it's sort of, it performs well. And then we take it to the next step, which I sort of call our turbocharger.
Right.
Right. Which is the enhanced vapor injection where, you know, we're 100% down to 5F and we do a great job in a lot of climates. But then that next step above that is we were an active member. We just finished field tests with the Department of Energy Cold Climate Heat Pump Technology Challenge, one of the manufacturers in that, where they challenged the manufacturers to do better in severe climates. And so we went into lab testing several months ago and came out, and we were actually a little surprised in a good way by our results, where we had 118% heating capacity at negative 15 Fahrenheit.
What?
So that's our next generation of compressors with a sequential stage variable speed that's coming onto the market soon. So anytime you can be above your rated heating capacity at temperatures at negative 15 Fahrenheit, let's stay out of that auxiliary heat strip.
Yeah.
Let that compressor do all the work, and we're variable speed. And so we're modulating with the load. So not only are we keeping you more comfortable, but there's a real good chance we're going to save you some money too.
That is intriguing to see numbers in that low, because that's really the goal, is to get away from any type of electric resistive heating. When we start teaching about heat pumps, a lot of people don't understand that a heat pump doesn't generate heat, doesn't produce heat like our fossil fuels, which are converting an energy to produce heat. We're moving heat.
Yes.
And so we're talking about using technology in very advanced ways to be able to move heat extremely efficiently. And I'm really looking forward to that. So I assume that that was the equipment that I have recently seen in this test home up in the very northern part of North America, producing some incredible heat and comfort. Can you tell us a little bit about that project? Because I don't think everyone realizes how well heat pumps can perform.
Absolutely. So, you know, my cheesy saying, it is definitely the coolest project that I've ever been a part of, right? So we got together, it's been probably right at a year ago, and we said, hey, we need to test this. I mean, we can test it here. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky at our MyDIA America Research Center. We've got areas, we've got colleagues up north and around, but I said, where can we go to really put this thing to the test?
Yeah.
And so we go, I don't know, there's a crazy idea. How about Alaska?
Isn't that nuts?
It is nuts. We actually worked with the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
And we found a ranch, so Willow Ranch up in Willow, Alaska. And they said, hey, there was four special needs men who run this ranch up there. And we said, hey, they need a little fixer-upper, as we say. So they had a duplex up there. So MyDIA came in with Discovery Channel. We replaced windows and doors and insulation, and we worked with Jeff Thorman from Home Renovation DIY. He was our general contractor partner, and so we took out an old system that was just not working well, right? And it sat out in the middle of the living room, and we put in a new central system with our next generation Midea G Cubed product. And it, we checked in with them not long ago, and we went through this last Alaskan winter, and they said, we've never seen anything like it. The performance is incredible. We've completely moved away from any fossil fuel source we've had. They were running based off of like diesel fuel and everything and generators. And it was out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm old and I'm bald and I'm cold. And it was the coldest thing I've ever been a part of. But when we checked in, everything was working seamlessly in Willow, Alaska. And it was incredible. It was beautiful, by the way. Alaska is incredible. But it was a great project and the success was incredible. Those guys are so happy. High performance, efficient heat pump products, even in the coldest climate, that it was really cool.
Yeah, that is an intriguing example of what these next generation of heat pumps are capable of doing. And Midea is very much at the forefront of not only manufacturing these, but putting them out into the field in extreme conditions, testing their performance, and then looking for input back on how well these things are performing. I mean, that's really the ideal design of this next generation of equipment. Let's not only prove to the United States Department of Energy through the cold climate heat pump challenges that we can do this, but then now let's make equipment that is really reliable and really efficient, and it sets a whole new perspective for our industry. And I hope that our listeners walk away thinking about this from a different perspective. The heat pumps that we are now producing, the heat pumps that Midea is introducing into the industry, are nothing like the heat pumps that have had bad reputations in the past because they didn't perform very well. And so as we look forward as an industry, it's important to know that, yes, a heat pump is good for everyone, even those in Alaska, when they are sized properly, when we've reduced the heat loss as much as possible, exactly like you were talking about, evaluating the shell to see if we can reduce the heat load on this so we can get the ideal size heat pump that will work and that will reduce the energy consumption. And then we implement it into a new perspective as HVAC technicians. We're almost becoming like energy professionals in our own trade. And I love it. I think it's
absolutely. And you're right. You got to work on the envelope first, right? I mean, if your windows are like screen doors, right, and you have no insulation in your attic, you'll never be able to get there. So if you work on the envelope, and then, you know, we do so much consumer research.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the things that we did was, because we want to make sure that people know this. So we went out and we did a lot of research and we asked a lot of people and said, hey, have you heard of a heat pump? And they go, well, of course we've heard of a heat pump, you know? And then we said, you know, do you know that heat pumps can actually provide enough heat for you at temperatures below zero? So 80% of the people had heard of a heat pump. But immediately when we asked that next question, do you know that they can provide the heat you need at temperatures less than zero? It went to 4%.
I believe that.
And so that shows me that from the manufacturing standpoint, we're not getting the word out as an industry. And so we've got to change that. And then the next, some other research that we've done, and we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on consumer research, is I think it was 3,500 systems that there was an analysis done on them, and 85% of them were oversized.
Oh, absolutely.
Oversized.
It's a plague.
Whether that was an air conditioner, a heat pump, a gas furnace, whatever, oversized.
Yeah.
And then we worry about short cycling. We wonder why the relative humidity in the space during summer continues to rise. We wonder why it's cold but clammy in here. So we've got to get better at training these things on load calculations, sizing the equipment correctly, even variable speed equipment. You know, there's a misnomer out there that, hey, it's a 2-ton load, but I'm going to put a 5-ton in it because, boy, I don't want my phone ringing at 2 a.m. on Tuesday. No, let's do it right. Let's size it. Let's do this power. Let this powerful equipment do its job. Everyone's more comfortable. And again, and then we hope we can save them a little bit of money with the higher efficiencies that we've got too.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Understanding that entire envelope, getting better at sizing selection, reducing heat load, getting the correct piece of equipment, which is key. A lot of people don't understand that those capabilities are there in their heat pump. Here in my own shop, so I've got it's a 4-year-old unit, but it is a multi-port low temp heat pump. And I did a little video last winter. I was in my wood shop at -5 and I had 80 degrees in my wood shop with a heat pump with no auxiliary electric backup. But it all comes down to that proper sizing and then the proper equipment selection. So as we move into this new generation, I've been very excited to work with my DIA. Can't wait to see you folks at the National HVACR Education Conference. We're going to be talking about equipment. We're going to be talking about training. So as a contractor, as an educator, I'm looking to learn more about these products. What do we do? How do we connect with my DIA to understand more about this technology and ways that I can implement it into my classroom and into my own equipment selections that I'm offering to my consumers?
Yeah, so I think that a good first step is to go to our website, which is mydiacomfort.us. So MyDIA, M-I-D-E-A, and then comfort.us. And there's a contact us form on there. And, you know, we're privileged to be able to do some education at HVAC Excellence this year, right? So, well, I have a group of my trainers there and we'll be training that. So if I hope there's a lot of people going, and we were there last year and the place was stuffed, which is incredible, right? Which means the industry trainers know there's changes coming and really want to be up to date on it. So if you're there and you see someone walking around with a MyDIA shirt on, please stop us and ask us, right? And we're on the cutting edge of this. And here at the MyDIA America Research Center, that is what we're tasked to do, which is innovation. And what we want feedback from the industry, because when we develop these products, we bring contractors in and we talk to distributors and we want your feedback. What can we do to make this product, as it changes, right, becomes more powerful? How do we make it easier to install and easier to service and easier to troubleshoot? How do we make your lives easier as contractors? And then as trainers, how can we educate and train the trainers so they're confident in it too? Because anything we do with confidence, it just exudes out of us, right? And it's absorbed into those who are listening to us. So do not be afraid of these new high heat pump products. To the point you made earlier, my favorite saying, this ain't grandpa's heat pump anymore.
No.
You know, we are in a current age, so much so, and I want to brag on our G-Cube modular air handler real quick, our next series that's coming out soon. We've got auto voltage detection. So in many applications, we've done these applications. If it's 208, 230 coming in like a normal air handler, we got that. If you want to take out your gas furnace, and then you want to add this heat pump and air handler, it will auto adapt to the 115 volt, the same circuit that went to your gas furnace.
An air handler?
Immediately up will adapt.
Really?
Yes. And it says, I sense 208, I'm going to run off of 208. I sense 115, I'm going to run off of 115. And we've got field tests out there now where it's running without auxiliary heat strips, of course, but with the power of this compressor, we look at that and we go, even in a defrost cycle, our defrost cycles are so short, we don't even need to turn the auxiliary heat strip on. 115 volt, you hook it up, it recognizes it, automatically adapts to 115 and runs like a champ. But we've got field tests out there now doing it.
That's a game changer, because so many contractors look at this and go, well, I would really like to upgrade into a high performance heat pump from this gas furnace, but I'm on a 115 volt circuit, and now I've got to relook at bringing an electrician in for modifying this over to a 220 to bring an air handler, and it just adds some additional cost into that estimate. But now you're talking about just simply plug and play from a 115 volt gas furnace into an air handler, and we're using ECM variable speed motors. They use so much less current than our older PSC motors. So even though our voltage is down, our amps are going to go up just for the power supply, the wattage of the system. But because the wattage has been reduced by technology, now our circuit can actually handle an air handler and no auxiliary backup heat.
You got it. And it's working. And we've got field tests out there now. We field test everything, right? Just to make sure that it does what we promise it will do. And these were truly plug and play. Take the gas furnace out, hook this up. I recognize 115. I'm going to run off of it. There wasn't a dip switch. There wasn't a die. There was nothing. It just ran with it. And so you've got variable speed, to your point, the ECM motor inside. Then we've got a variable speed compressor outside. So many days we're going to be running at minimum to mid capacity on these things. And so the amp draw is going to be very low, which in turn on the energy saving side, we're going to save you some money and make you more comfortable. So it's almost like a double dip.
I'm digging it. I am absolutely loving this idea. You know, while we're talking about technology, can we briefly talk about vapor injection compressors? We're going to spend more time talking about this on an actual Did You Know live show. A lot of people are going, what is a vapor injection? Now, I'm very familiar with them in the commercial industrial application, especially in the refrigeration sector. We've not seen a lot of it in the residential, but we are starting to see it now. And just kind of an overview so that people have an understanding of what we mean when we say vapor injection and some of this new technology.
Yeah, so I mean, it basically involves the compressor, right? And what we do with the refrigerant within the compressor, and how do we maximize to the point you made earlier, we're transferring heat, right? We're not creating heat with a heat pump. So how do we work this refrigerant cycle within this advanced compressor in order to be able to pull? And it's incredible. And people, their eyes pop open when I go, okay, it's zero outside. Or less than zero through this enhanced vapor injection through the circuitry of the refrigerant, there's actually enough warm air outside at zero to pull inside to keep your house at 72 degrees Fahrenheit. And they go, no way. And I go, yes way. And so we continually work to make those better. But that is the change from grandpa's heat pump to the current heat pump is we can now through the refrigerant cycle and these advanced compressors pull way more heat from outside, even though you don't think there's any out there, and we move it into your house, and we never, you know, light up that auxiliary heat strip. We don't have to light up a fossil fuel. We just transfer that heat. And we're getting better and better and better at it. As I said about the results from the DOE Cold Climate Heat Pump Technology Challenge, we're getting better at it. We're pushing it every day through our innovation process here.
Yeah, that's very intriguing. You know, when we look at these technological changes that have happened because of the cold climate heat pump challenge. Initially, it was just a challenge to see if we could. And now we're at the point it is a challenge to see how much better we can actually get because we have succeeded and we have overcome those initial challenges. And so it's turned into now a multiple layer challenge going, okay, all right, so you all have been able to do this. What else can you do? And my idea just stepped up to the game and went, I don't know. Let's find out.
And we have to stress test everything. Like when we were talking about the Alaska project, you know, we can do it in cold climates here, but that's not a real stress test, right? So let's really get to a climate we can stress test it. And we consider ourselves our own competitor. We're not basing it off of what anybody else is doing. What are we doing and how can we continue to improve what we're doing in order to from the training side, again, making our distributor partners and their contractors more comfortable with this next generation of equipment, but also making homeowners more comfortable as well, just from sitting in their own house. Because most of them don't really know what comfort is. It's like, no, this room is always 5 degrees warmer than that room over there. And when it gets cold outside, my auxiliary heat strip always kicks on and my electric bill always triples when it's cold outside. But those days are over. We don't have to do it anymore. So I would say to distributors and to contractors, don't be afraid. Reach out to us if you see us or jump on the website I mentioned earlier. Contact us. We'll be more than happy to share enough information for everybody that needs to get more comfortable with it.
Love it. I think the name of this podcast could be Those Days Are Over.
It's over. We've come a long way, baby.
Yes, we have. David Rames and the MyDia team, we're so grateful for you and look forward to seeing you soon on the show and at the National HVACR Education Conference. Have a great day.
Thank you, Clifton.